Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning. Welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. If you had opportunity to tune in and join me last Saturday, then you're aware that my very special guest was Pastor Angelo Frazier, who happens to be the pastor of Outreach and Care at River Lakes Community Church right here in Bakersfield. And I'm very glad to share with you this morning. He is back with me once again in the studio. Good morning, sir.
It's good to be here, Pastor.
We're going to jump right back in where we pretty much left off.
Oh, my goodness. I've had lunch since.
We were talking at great length at the broadcast previously last week that ultimately, with regard to homosexuality, This really is not just an issue. This is ultimately about people. People whom God loves and people for whom Jesus died.
Absolutely.
But in my travels around the world talking and speaking on this subject matter, I often find that that is being dismissed. Again, it's reduced to just an issue. And that greatly, greatly concerns me. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think when we elevate any issue above who people are, then we can lose sight of the original plan. God created all of us.
Yes.
He created us for His purpose, and our job to equip the church to share the hope of reconciliation. We're all sinners saved by His grace. And so I think if we look at people not as their behavior, but who they are made for, is a lot better to start the conversation with.
We're not also just focusing on the brokenness of same-sex attraction.
No.
I mean, heaven knows, the Bible's very, very clear. There's an abundance of behaviors and habits and addictions
we have a lot of.
We can find ourselves in an intense battle with. So this is not the biggie, is it?
No, and that's another thing. James even talks about, well, you may not have lied, or you may not have murdered, but you lied, so you're just, you know, it's all the same. I think we get to the symptoms, and we miss the actual cure.
Yes.
The cure is Christ. And so if I can look at a brother, no matter what his behavior is, and still see him, see the hope for him or her, I think that's a great place to start.
And especially as Christians, as faithful followers of Christ and all of His teachings, taking the Bible in its entirety or not at all. Mm-hmm. And God has a lot to say about certain behaviors which are permissible and many others which are not.
Exactly.
Again, we have to remember that this is about people. And the battle of same-sex attraction is just one form of brokenness. That said, the Bible's equally clear. This can be resolved in an individual's life.
It can be, and I think we have to get back out in the public square, Pastor. Here's the thing that we are not in the public square as much as we should be. We need to get into those places where people are. We need to meet them where they are. Sunday morning is great when people show up at our front door. That's wonderful and exciting, and we're ready for that. But we're going to meet more people out in the public square. A lot of the people struggling with these issues are in their own communities. So I challenge us believers to go into those communities to befriend these guys and girls, build relationships with them for the purpose of having to share the gospel with them. Absolutely.
Well, I believe you and I are in total agreement. We continue to see the church as God's vehicle to
Absolutely.
Reach wounded, broken, hurting
Absolutely.
Humanity. That includes men and women struggling with this particular...
Absolutely. And if we think that people aren't in our churches that struggle with this, we are deceiving ourselves.
There are hidden mission fields in each of our churches.
Absolutely.
We don't have to look very far.
No.
Let's talk once again about change.
Yes,
and I know for the 25 years of His Way Out Ministries, most men and women, when they come our way, really what they are anticipating, if not demanding, is, I want this eradicated completely and totally. And that has happened in some lives of both men and women, but not all.
Yeah,
but they still have experienced great change.
Yeah.
But today, when we talk about change or freedom from homosexuality, that is off the expectation. It's got to be completely and totally gone.
Well, I think one of the things that in order to let go of something, you're going to have to grab onto something else.
Yes.
And when it comes to a certain lifestyle, behaviors, you need to choose to do what is right. And that's in the Bible talks about that. Do what is right. And everything will begin to catch up. But if we're doing what is wrong, we're not going to feel good about it. We're not going to change. We're not going to feel like we can change. But when we practice the things that are of God, people will get the sense there is change. And it's only changed through Christ.
Often the battle is won dependent upon what are you feeding most, your spirit or the flesh?
There you go. Which is fatter?
Yes, exactly, exactly. Let me ask you, because a lot of men and women today are identifying as, I am a gay Christian. Now, I could speak for hours on that subject alone. What's your take on that?
Well, one of the things, I wouldn't use that terminology. They can use it. I wouldn't use it. What I would do is use that as an opportunity to explore what they mean by that.
Yes.
So, for instance, because a lot of what's happening now, they'll grab the thing, social media nuggets that are out there. People will have phrases. They'll use them, and that's me. So, what do you mean by that? When you put those two words together, what do those two words mean? And you'll find 9 out of 10 times that they don't have a healthy understanding of what those two are.
Yes.
Because one of the things that Christian, if we are Christian and we say we're gay, let's take a look at what Christian means.
Yes.
Christian doesn't point to the flesh at all. Christian points to Christ.
Yes. And I continue to have a lot of conversations with men and women that identify as gay Christian. Mm-hmm. And every time I hear it spoken, I think, wait a minute, this is just so wrong, because as a Christian, my identity is in Christ.
Exactly.
Why would I want to put my sexual orientation before identifying as a Christian? Something is not in order.
Well, we talked about it last week. We talked about last week the three areas that I'm going to be writing on is just that. It is the controlling the narrative, controlling the conversation, suppressing the truth, and misplaced identity. You know, River Lakes is going to be talking about, Matt's going to be talking about homosexuality soon. And if you want to find out more about that, you can get to our website and see when that series is going to be coming out.
What is your website address?
RiverLakesChurch.org. Okay. www.RiverLakesChurch.org.
So that'll be posted when he is speaking on the subject matter. That'd be great for everyone to be aware of.
You can get out there and get there. And by the way, there is information out there that you would agree with. There's some that's kind of sketchy, but there's information for people who, as you said earlier, no one talked to you. In today's world, it's all around. But I don't know if it's getting into the community.
I remember so vividly, and again, I continue to see this play out on this subject matter. Often the response is, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, can we get beyond that? Because if we're really truly going to help people, we've got to enter into developing a relationship, not to condone homosexual practice, but seeing the person as a person whom God loves.
Well, it's just like a person walks into a doctor's office. The doctor says, look, you're fat and ugly. Get out of here. I'm not going to do anything until you get your life together. No, he sees him as a patient, as a person that he can help.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's take a little bit of a different direction for a moment. As I see it, we the church really had no choice in challenging and confronting pro-gay theologians, pro-gay apologists, and revisionists of Scripture. These individuals have taken both the Scriptures in the Old and the New Testament, they've rewritten them, they've twisted them, attempting to validate homosexual practice. My concern regarding the authority of Scripture today on this subject, and certainly there are others, if we don't challenge, we're going to continue to see three areas of concern. Right. One, we're going to see the further denigration of biblical authority.
True.
We're going to lose, if we haven't lost already, a coherent definition of family.
Yeah.
And we will continue to see greater exploitation of children.
Well, and you nailed it right there. Exactly. And so, but this, right, having said all that, this is the greatest time ever for the church. This is the time where we can speak the truth in love and be bold and engage the darkness in those three areas you talked about. Because look at the problems that we're having now. Look at the freedom of equality of sexual exploitation. Look at it. Look at the damage that it's doing all across the, and it's not just through the Catholic Church, Protestant Church, it's everywhere, because we've moved outside of that original framework. Man and woman, good and bad, yes and no, up and down.
And unfortunately, too, the accusations of being hateful, homophobic, or a bigot. Let's go back many, many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. Gay-identified men and women, if that's the direction in life they choose to travel, that is their choice. But when statements are being made that God's okay with this, even homosexuality has a blessing to Christianity, now we have a problem, because now we're talking contradiction of Scripture.
Well, yeah, but also we've done two things, Pastor. We've also said, you just mentioned, if you can do whatever you want to do.
It's your choice.
And now people are doing whatever they want to do, and they're reaping the rewards of it or the consequences of it. Now we're saying, wait a minute, you really don't have a choice to do that, because it's detrimental to society. Look at the, because we didn't defend, our government didn't defend the Marriage Act a number of years ago, the Defense of Marriage Act, we have now a redefinition of marriage.
Yes.
Anybody can get married to whoever. And we're going to see that explode even more so, to bring back into, hopefully, you know, what they're looking at, some groups are looking at, plurality of marriages. You know, even though that's a leap from gay marriage, but it's still an opportunity to say, hey, since I love this person, why can't I love this and that person at the same time?
Exactly.
If marriage is no longer between a man and a woman, that breakdown you just mentioned, once that breakdown is secure, I don't think it is. I don't think it's settled law. I hope that we begin to deal with this in the political realm as well, because we're going to need that political force to deal with this, because if we don't push back, we're going to get rolled over.
Yes, and we do need an equal balance, I believe, of both the political.
We do.
Side of it, as well as the ministry.
Absolutely.
And I would submit where we're still lacking greatly is on the ministry side.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That we needs are. To improve.
And as I said earlier, I think one of the things that we struggle with, I know, is that because of the emotions in this and because of the vitriol in this, it is really hard to deal with. Especially, you know, who can know anyone's heart? We don't know what's in someone's heart. But we have to separate behavior from who they are.
Yes.
Heritage.
Yes.
And I think if we can do that, we can begin to help them understand their behavior doesn't define them. And that's why same-sex attraction is really no different than any other sin.
One point that helped me personally tremendously many, many years ago was when someone spoke to me, Philip, you are a sexual being, but you are a Christian now, and your true identity is in Christ, not your sexuality. I'm telling you what, the light bulbs just came on.
That's the third leg of my stool. Misplaced sexuality. It is not in our behavior. It is in Christ. It cannot be. And so then I have an opportunity with the same-sex person to say, you know what, let's talk about identity. An identity that's rich and full and brings joy, not misery and pain and deception.
Let's also point to the fact that overcoming some of these forms of brokenness, including same-sex attraction, it is often, if not almost across the board, it's a process.
It is.
You start talking about process, you're talking about an element of time.
It's going to take time.
Read through Romans chapter 7, and Paul's own journey with whatever his issue of the flesh was. Paul hated what was going on in his life. He went to God three times and said, take it away, because I hate it. I know you hate it. What did God say? No. But I'll give you the extra measure of grace that you're going to need to continue walking with me. And that's where I think a lot of gay-identified men and women throw in the towel. They want their deliverance microwaved.
And it's not going to be microwaved. Paul even said in Romans 7, he says, the good that I wish to do, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I hate. And I've had people use that as, see, yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right. Life is a process. It's all a process. And that's why we have a thing called sanctification.
Yes, yes.
It takes us moment by moment, step by step through this process. And that's the beauty of it. Are we willing to spend the time to sit down with our men and women? We counsel people caught in adultery. We counsel people that are workaholics. We counsel many people. Why not take the time and energy to counsel those that are same-sex attracted?
And you know, for a lot of gay-identified men and women, They're looking for answers.
Sure they are.
And there are answers to many of their questions. But I would submit what many of these men and women are looking for is someone who genuinely cares about them.
Absolutely.
And they're not just trying to win the argument.
Absolutely. Because if you're trying to win the argument, you will lose the person.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yes. Let's talk a little bit about the Great Commission.
I just spoke on that.
That's one of my
favorite subjects.
Because the view from where I sit, mm-hmm. if we are not reaching to the gay community with the message of hope, healing, and transformation in Christ, how can we possibly say that we are fulfilling the Great Commission? Because we're leaving mm-hmm. out a huge segment of society.
Well, the Great Commission says, Jesus says, go to all nations, and the word people. And same-sex group are people. He didn't say go to all countries. We have people here who need the gospel. And just like you had admitted, no one shared with you, and you were involved in it for 17 years?
Yes. Yes.
How many Philip Lees are in this lifestyle that has not heard the opportunity of the gospel?
That I can't be definitive in terms of an answer, but I would submit that many, many gay-identified men and women in gay communities around the world, they haven't heard the gospel in a loving manner.
In a loving manner. I agree with you on that.
And speaking of love, we have a lot of people exclaiming today, love is the identifying factor which validates behavior.
Right.
And my reply is, huh?
No. Sacrificial love is a blood-stained cross and guaranteed to us by Jesus Christ. Yeah, love, you know, the 60s, and we had, Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do With It? It's a secondhand emotion and all this other stuff. Well, she even missed it. It was a cool song. I liked it. But no, love has everything to do with God reaching down into this sin-filled, adulterous, same-sex, miry clay and saying, I love you enough to send my son to redeem this world.
Absolutely. Love is not the omnipotent quality that validates behavior.
No.
If it were, we are in bigger trouble than I thought.
Well, and this is what I mean about controlling the narrative. Gay has been redefined. Love has been redefined. Marriage has been redefined. All these words have been they have to be redefined because they don't fit into the biblical construct, but this whole new social construct out there that is what they're trying to build. That orientation is a social construct. Yes. You get to choose that.
Yes. Comes back to choice once again, which gets many of us in deep, deep trouble.
Yeah, we are.
But God's given us free will choice.
Absolutely.
Without free will choice, there could be no such thing as pure, true, undefiled love.
And that is based on Christ's sacrifice. And that's what I really think all the hearts of God made us. He said, Romans, when he put the truth within us, and we are without excuse. Now, how can we be without excuse if we don't have the truth within us? God put the truth of God within each person.
Absolutely. Which brings us back once again to the Lordship of Christ and the authority of Scripture. Again, searching the totality of Scripture. Not one which validates homosexual practice. Every time it is referenced in the Bible, it is always framed in the context of a behavior not unlike many others, which God says, don't go there.
And the Bible mentions homosexuality,
yes. But
it mentions a lot of, it mentions gluttony. It mentions a lot of behaviors in there. And so, yeah, we have to be faithful. And maybe, Pastor, what it really is a lack of the ability to use God's word in the midst of these difficult conversations.
Maybe one of the classic passages is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, mm-hmm. verse 9 through 11. Mm-hmm. And there's a list, there's a catalog of various behaviors in which God is very clear that no man or woman is to practice.
Right.
But what I so appreciate about the passage is that while homosexuality is specifically mentioned in that list, it's mentioned in the middle.
Right.
Telling us what? It's just another sin.
It's just one of the things that's listed. In verse 11 of Titus, it says, for the grace of God has appeared to offer salvation for all people. Well, that's interesting. That includes Baptists, Presbyterians, and Catholics.
You think? So let me ask you on a personal level.
You'll probably get letters on that one.
Probably so. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. That's all right.
All right.
Let me ask you, as a pastor.
And I have a personal question to ask you.
Okay.
You
know, me first.
Okay, you go ahead.
Okay. As a pastor, I know that this is a very, very important issue to you.
Yes, it
has been for
is.
A long time. And you meet and you talk with men and women that are struggling with same-sex attraction. What do you say to them?
As I said earlier, I think one of the first things you do to affirm them is that God loves them and that they are people that are created by God. And that, and that to me is the hardest thing for them to hear, because what they want me to say is, they want me to affirm their behavior. I'll deal with the behavior second. I want to deal with the person first, because when they come into my office, you know, it's you don't like my behavior. You're against my, you're judging my behavior.
Let me jump in here, yeah. Because I would probably sit across from you. I would say, but Pastor, I didn't ask for these feelings. I didn't ask for these attractions, and they're right. But you have a responsibility in terms of what you're going to do with it.
And absolutely. And I would say, Phil, we are going to get to those feelings and those emotions because they are valid. They are real for you. But one of the things before we get to those feelings, let's kind of lay some groundwork, because I want to be honest with you. I want to be faithful with you. I want to be true with you. And I don't just want to jump over here and start messing around with this. I said, when you take your car in, you got all these issues going on in your car. You just don't start there. You got to do a diagnosis of the car first. Then you find out what the issue is. So let's take a look at you as a person first.
Yes.
Because I care more about you as a person than the feelings you have, even though feelings, they're valid for you. So I want to start with you as I'm talking to you, because you can't necessarily reason with feelings, aren't necessarily bad or good. But I want to talk to you. What's going on in your heart? What's going on in your mind? What are you? What is your hope? And that's where I start with people.
What is your expectation?
Yeah.
What are you demanding God to do?
Right. Because sometimes we got to figure out where we are before we can figure out where we're going.
I would submit to those men and women that they have not seen a total eradication of same-sex attraction.
Yeah.
It isn't all that bad if it keeps us dependent upon God, which is a good place to be.
And like I said, if I give in to all the things I want to do, when I drive by a drive-thru, and not equating it to that level, but I can't give in to all the things that I want to give myself to. I mean, what if I just said, hey, how about this? I just want to go on vacation all the time because it feels so good to be on vacation all the time.
Works for me.
So I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to call my employer and say, I want to be on vacation all the time because it feels really, and Hawaii is the choice.
Maui.
Okay, there you go.
I hear where you're coming from. And again, for a lot of gay identified men and women, yeah, that have questions, which are valid.
Absolutely.
And they deserve an answer.
Now, absolutely.
I tell people all the time, I tell our support group leaders, you don't have to have all the answers.
No.
We don't.
Absolutely,
we know a lot about this behavior. We know a lot about this identity. Do we know it all? I don't think so. But we will go with you to the one who does.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we do that by starting with the person first. Looking at him and say, hey, Tom, how are you? Tom, let me talk about you as a person. What's happening with you as a person? Not how you feel, just because we'll get to that. We're not discounting that, not minimizing that, but I want to deal with you first.
And the application of James 5:16,
yeah,
which says very clearly we're to confess our faults one to another so that someone will be praying for us, so that we will be healed. Now, some people take healing in that verse to mean only physical healing, but it's emotional healing, mental
healing,
sexual healing.
Absolutely.
James 5:16 is in God's word for good reason, but a lot of Christian men and women, they don't want to go there because they don't want to even know I got a problem.
Well, yeah, 1 Thessalonians says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything, even difficulties, give thanks. So I would tell the person that I'm meeting with, are you giving thanks?
Yes. And are you being honest with me?
Mm-hmm.
Confession, yeah, is really good, for lack of better expression, for the soul.
Absolutely.
We all need at times in life, we need kind of a dump session to get the stuff
we
out.
We absolutely do. We absolutely do. I mean, you know, see, I think sometimes same-sex stuff is the boogeyman. It's like it goes back to abortion. It's like when you hear the A word, you just kind of, I don't want to talk about it. But I see these are opportunities for the church, for believers, to help speak truth into someone's life lovingly. And you said a lot of times is, I hate your sin, so you figure it out.
Yeah. You know, 33 years ago, when I surrendered my life to Christ, I'm in church for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
My first worship service on a Sunday morning.
Uh-huh.
And I was sitting there for a few moments, and I had my head bowed, and I felt this arm come across the back of my,
uh-huh,
shoulders. It was a senior pastor of the church. He came down. He whispered in my ear. He said, I heard what happened, but I'm here to pray with you to make sure it sticks. Well, brother, it stuck. because here we are 33 wow. years later. That was a huge step for him to take, and it was profound for me to hear.
Wow.
Because he was seeing me as a person.
Yeah, what I was talking about, as a person. Now, here's my personal question for you.
Okay.
Now, you've been out of the same-sex lifestyle for 17 years.
33 years.
32 years. How has that, how is your view of, what do you see as your next step as far as relationships-wise? And do you feel hindered by or the ability to move into a opposite-sex relationship, or you just want to remain single?
Over the years, I mean, I have entertained dating and even looked at marriage, and it's still very much on the horizon. I'm not dismissing it. Mm-hmm. However, being in full-time ministry, I appreciate the fact that I don't have the responsibility of a wife and children, which is very freeing.
Sounds biblical.
Comes in handy when it comes to ministry. But I have a very, very fulfilled life, mm-hmm. primarily because of my relationship with Christ. I realize, like every other Christian man and woman, I'm still in process. That process is going to continue in my life to either go home to be with Jesus or he comes back to get us. So I tell myself, Philip, relax and enjoy the journey.
Right. Enjoy
and that's
the journey.
My view.
There you go. I like that. I like that.
I have so appreciated your being here in this very frank, open, honest discussion. And these will be airing very, very soon in the near future. Just follow our website. For all those tuning in, again, thanks so much for your listening in.
Thank you, Greg.
I hope that you'll continue to tune in every Saturday morning, 7 a.m., same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.